Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the 119th Psalm. I want to look at one verse there and then go to another passage of Scripture where we will spend the bulk of our time this morning. I believe that God is dealing with Faith Baptist Church on His Word. The importance of His Word, our dedication to His Word, our time in His Word, the way that we approach His Word. And I believe this is where the Lord would have us to be this morning. This would be about the third Sunday, I believe, that we have been specifically looking at passages that deal with believers' approach to what God has said to us in Scripture. And last week we looked at a handful of verses here in the 119th Psalm. I'm not going to preach all the way through the 119th Psalm. We just looked at a few verses last week. And then this week I want to look at one here that will kind of be a springboard to get us to our passage that we're going to spend the bulk of our time in, which will be Proverbs chapter 2. But in the 119th Psalm, I want you to look at verse 11. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Heavenly Father, help us this morning, please. Help us to approach your word correctly, reverently. Help me to preach it correctly. And change us, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 11 in the 119th Psalm declares that the way to ensure that our walk is pure is to have God's Word hidden in our heart. I know, and I alluded to a little bit of this last week, I made a few comments on this verse. I didn't go into great detail because I was pretty sure I would be preaching on it this morning, but I know that many of us have multiple copies of Scripture. And I know that many of us have, at any given time, have a Bible, a New Testament, close at hand, you know, around us in the car, in our pockets. And by the way, if you need a New Testament, a few years ago we put them back, gave one to everybody in the church. If you need another one or you didn't get one, you'd like to have a New Testament to carry with you. It's a soul winner's New Testament. And so it kind of points out verses that you can walk people through the gospel. We still have some of those in the back. Just let me know, hey, I need another one of those New Testaments or I need one of those. We'll get that to you. But I realize that people have God's Word close by very often. I realize that people nowadays have on their phone, you know, they will have the Bible on their phone, or you can listen to the Bible on your phone. I realize that. But there is something more to hiding God's Word in our hearts. Something so much more to that. Hiding God's Word in our heart has to do with making God's Word a part of who we are. You see, you can have it. You can have it. But that doesn't mean that it is a part of you. I have and many of you will agree, will be in this same boat. You maybe are in this same boat right now, or you have been. Magazine subscriptions seem like a great idea when you don't have one. And you say, you know what, I really like that magazine. I would probably read that. And then you get the magazine subscription, and then they stack and stack and stack. And you say, well, I like it. I just don't have time to sit down and read it. I have a magazine subscription to an outdoor magazine, and I haven't read very much of it this past year, working on the house and everything. But also, I kind of let them pile up on purpose because when you're an outdoorsman, long about the end of January, you start getting cabin fever. And so that's when you go through your magazines and read about hunting and fishing and everything. But those magazines will pile up around the house. I have some books that I have around the house that I haven't read. I have them. I've got them. Some of them are on my nightstand. I've got some books back here in my on my shelf that, you know, they're all good books. I know they're going to be good books when I get a chance to read them. I haven't read them. So far, they've not really done anything for me. I've got them. We all have a copy of God's Word. We have multiple copies of God's Word. And maybe we spend a lot of time reading it. But if we don't take the time to hide it in our hearts, it won't do anything for us. Now, if you're reading the Bible and that's about as far as it goes, then you are doing something that is a lot better than a lot of other ways you could spend your time. There was a woman who said to her pastor, "I feel like I read and read and read, and sometimes when I read, I feel like I don't retain. There are times when I read and I have a hard time remembering what I read, and I just have a hard time retaining it." And the pastor said to her, and we would all say, I've been there, that happens. But the pastor said to her, he said, sometimes reading God's Word is kind of like running water through a colander. We just call it a strainer at home, but running water through a colander or a strainer. He said, the colander doesn't retain very much water, but it's a lot cleaner having that water ran through it than it was to start with. So sometimes you sit down and you read and you get done reading and you say, "Boy, I'm just having a hard time remembering what I read." Well, you still did something much, much better with your time than turning on CNN or Fox News or, you know, some TV show or some kind of nonsense. Even if you feel like at that point not very much of it stuck with you, you still put something much better through your brain than a lot of other things you could have put through your brain. But we don't want it to be like that every time we sit down to read. We want to understand it. We want to make it a part of us. Because Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." There's not a believer alive that would say, "Yeah, I want to sin against God." There's not a believer that would say, even though sometimes we act like it, there's not someone who would vocalize it and say, "I don't care if I upset God. I don't care if I sin against Him." An honest, humble believer would say, "I want to live right for my Lord. He saved me from hell. I'm not going to spend eternity in the flames of hell now. I'm going to spend eternity with Him. I want to do right for Him. I want to live for Him. I want to be changed by Him. I don't want to sin against my God." And God tells us here, if you don't want to sin against me, make my word a part of you. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Why hidden? Why do we need to hide His word? Well, we hide things that are important and precious and of value to us. We hide things that we want to protect. Things that we don't want to be snatched away. Things that we don't want to be taken from us. We hide them for fear that someone might take them. And the more valuable they are to us, the more effort we put into hiding them. You probably have some things around your home. It might be jewelry or maybe just cash, or it might be an old family heirloom or something. And you might have it in a place that's a little more secretive than some of your other stuff that's just sitting out on the tables. Why? Because of how important and precious and valuable it is. You've hidden it to protect it. As a gun owner, it's important for me to hide my firearms, not just for safety, but because the loss of other possessions might be an aggravation, but a firearm is a means of protection. And it's a means of providing food for my family. Because of this, I guard them a little bit differently than I do other possessions because of the benefit that comes from them. Listen, God's word, is it not the most valuable possession we have? Is it not the most important thing that we have? Without it, I would not have known how to be saved. Without it, I would live in bondage to sin. Without it, I'd have no hope. I'd not know how to raise and protect my family. I'd not know how to live a life that pleases my God. I'd say it's valuable. I'd say it's precious. I'd say it deserves to be hidden in my heart. Not hidden from the rest of the world. I've got to tell them the gospel. But tucked away in here so that it is a part of me. A lot of people will spend a lot of time building up the physical body, won't they? Spend a lot of time working out and building up the muscles. But what good will that do us? This body is going to wear out one day. It's going to, nothing wrong with taking care of ourselves and being healthy, we know that. But you put too much emphasis on that and you're not making the word, you're not building up your heart and building up your soul with the word. How are big muscles going to keep you from sinning against God? Having God's word hidden in your heart will help you keep from sinning against Him. So how then can I make God's word a part of me? Not just own it, not just read it, not just know a few things from it. How can I make it a living part of who I am? Well, that's where we go to Proverbs chapter 2. There's a formula here in Proverbs chapter 2. And it is a very simple formula. Too often I think people approach God's word and they see it as this big mountain. Oh, I'll just never be able to figure any of it out. Well, if you don't get on it, you definitely won't. If you don't get on it, you definitely won't. You know that old joke, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One piece at a time. You take it a little bit at a time. Hey, you look at God's word and say, man, that's a big book. That's a long book. There's a lot of stuff there. Boy, that's real in-depth. That's real. Well, that's true. And it will remain a mountain unless we get the boots on and start climbing. But once we get in it, then we'll make some progress. It's really a very simple formula. It all just depends on what we're going to do with it. Proverbs chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 9. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So what the Lord says is, you want to understand me? You want to understand my word? You want to understand how to live your life? You want to be able to not sin against me? You want to understand the path that you need to take? You want to understand the decisions that you need to make? You want to understand what's going to help you in this life? What's going to help you to live a life that pleases me? You want that understanding? He says, here's how you have to approach my word. Let's break this down. Let's break this down. First, he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. The first two things that we have to do when we approach God's word are to receive it and to hide it. Let me say it like this. Read it and memorize it. Read it and memorize it. Before we really get to, you know, really getting a hold of the meaning, first, you got to read it, don't you? You gotta know what it says to start with. You say, well, that's simple. That's the simplest part. And that's where too many people stop after that part. Well, I've read it. Nothing's changed. No, you didn't change because you didn't go far enough. I read it. Nothing's changed. What'd you do with it after you read it? I read it. Still having this problem. What steps did you take with what you, what did you do with what you read? Well, we have to start by reading it. That's what he says, if thou wilt receive my words, take them in. Take them in. Read it to begin with. You cannot hide nor benefit from God's word unless you begin by receiving it. And church, listen, you can make the claim all day, every day, that you want to know God's word and you want to live for him, you want to be closer to him, but if you're not reading his word, you're wasting your breath. I've heard, you know, people say that. Well, I really want to know God's word, but the same people will tell me, I hardly ever read the Bible. And then you don't really want to know God's word. Listen, if you wanted to be better at anything, let's say you played baseball. And you wanted to be a good baseball player. We want to be better at baseball. You know what you'd do? You'd go out and practice. And you'd find a coach that knows what he's doing and get some coaching from him. And you would work towards being a better ball player, wouldn't you? If you want a nice, presentable house, you'll work at it and have a nice, presentable house. If you want to climb the ladder at work, you'll put forth the effort. You'll do those things. So if we want to know God's word, we'll get in it and we'll read it. We'll put forth the effort to receive his word. Reading God's word, putting it down, and then moving on is going to do very little for us. It's good that we read it. We have to start there. It's a better use of time than other things we can do. But if that's as far as we get, we're going to see very little change in our lives. We have to take time to memorize it. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Read it, now make it a point to memorize it. You know, there are a lot of different methods to memorizing Scripture. A lot of different ways that you can do it. One of the best ways is to take a verse or two at a time, put it on a card, and keep the card with you. Put it on a card and keep the card with you. Or put that card, you know, by the mirror or in the car or something. Maybe in the car is not the best place to put it. But put that somewhere where you're going to see it and be reminded of it. And every time that you see it, you look over it and keep reminding yourself of it. I'll tell you one method that I've heard of. You take some 3x5 cards and you find verses on different subjects. 3 or 4 verses on a subject, okay? Salvation. And I get 3 or 4 verses and write them out. Each one gets their own card. Heaven. I'm going to write 3 or 4 verses about heaven. Hell. Sin. Okay? Raising children. Marriage. Whatever it be. And you categorize them. And then you take time throughout the week. I'm going to work on this category. This week I'm going to work on these 3 verses or these 4 verses about heaven. And next week it's going to be these and these. And you're constantly getting that scripture inside of you. Don't look at the book and say, oh man, I'm not going to get all. You take one verse at a time. There's a reason why with kids we give them memory verses. We're trying to help them hide God's word in their heart. It'll help them as they grow up. The problem is we get out of Sunday school, we get maybe into the teen class or something like that, and we think that it's no longer important for us to keep memorizing Scripture. It is just as important for mom and dad to memorize Scripture as it is for the little 5- and 6-year-old to memorize Scripture. You say, I've never really done it. It doesn't matter. Let's start now. Receive it. Spend time in it every day. Hide it. Memorize it so that it will become a part of us, so that we can think scripturally. You know what will start happening? The more scripture you get in, the more things in life will remind you of God's Word. The more scripture you have in here, the more things will take place and you'll say, that's just like what I read in James. That's just like what the Bible says in Proverbs. You know what? Genesis chapter 3 applies to that right there. What are you doing now? You're thinking biblically. Isn't that how God wants us to think? He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And then verse 2, he says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. First thing we have to do is receive and hide. Read it. Memorize it. Now we have to incline ourselves unto it. What's that mean? We need to study it. We're going to know what it means. We're going to have to study it. What does the word incline mean? It means to lean. In a moral sense, it means to have a propension, to be disposed, to have some wish or desire. It means lean in that direction. Lean that way. This is what I'm interested in. You say, well, he's inclined to lose his temper. It means he leans in that direction and loses his temper a lot. What are you inclined to? Are you inclined to God's Word? Do you lean toward His Word? Do you say, I want more of that? I want to study that. I want to find out what that means. Hold your place there and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We have to make a conscious decision to incline ourselves to God's Word. We need to try to think biblically. You know, the Lord is extremely concerned with our thought life, with what we think about and what we dwell on. Philippians chapter 4, look what he says in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. God says, quit thinking about the filth, quit thinking about the garbage, quit thinking about the stuff that wastes your time. Find something good to think about. Look for those things that are pure and lovely, of good report. Think about that stuff. You say, that's hard. Of course it's hard. That's why Scripture tells us we've got to work at it. If we just did it automatically, we wouldn't need this verse. But Paul tells the church at Philippi, and now us, through the Word, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of Paul, says, you've got to make the conscious decision to think on those things that are heavenly and not to think on those things that are of the world. You have to make the decision every time that a thought comes through your mind. You have to bring it into subjection. You have to capture it, take it to the Word. It doesn't line up, it's gone. Take it to the Word, it lines up. I'll keep that one. You know why I think we are encouraged to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. You know why? So little of it is to be found in the world. So little of it is to be found. You pick up the newspaper and you look through and you say, well, that's not true. Or somebody's lying because this paper over here said the opposite. That network said this and then this network said that. Well, that's somebody's lying. Okay, don't think on that stuff. Whatsoever things are just. How much fairness is there in this world? None. None. You work and work and work and work and work, and a government takes your hard-earned money and gives it to someone who can work but won't work, that's not fair. That's life. A family, a husband and a wife pray for years for one child. One child. And every day people put millions of them to death. Or you got a family that has 7 or 8 or 9 of them and won't take care of any of them. It's not fair, is it? No, living in a sinful world isn't. You're going to have to make sure that you don't dwell on those things. You're going to have to make sure, that's not just. You got to make sure you don't dwell on that. Pure? Turn network television on for about 30 seconds. See how much purity there is. You can't watch a commercial for a burger joint. Hamburgers. We got to have filth to advertise a hamburger. We quit going to Hardee's years ago because the commercials got so filthy. We said they're not getting our money to make that filth. You'd think that a commercial that just says, here's our burger, come eat it, would be clean. No, the world just dirties everything up. You know what the word says? Don't think about that stuff. It's not pure. Pastor, what's this have to do with hiding God's word? God's word is true. It's just. It's pure. It's lovely. It's of good report. It's full of praise. So lean towards it. Study it. Don't just read the verse and memorize it and know the words in it. Know the meaning. Know what God wants you to do with it. Study, study, study. When you incline yourself to it, you're leaning in its direction. Hey, I want to know more about that. What does it say here? How is that explained? What's that mean over here? What's that supposed to do to me? Here's where the real work comes in, to study it. We live in a fix-it, quick, get-it-quick society. The doctor says you're going to have to do this, you're going to have to do this, you're going to do this. Can't you just give me a pill? There's a pill for everything else. Can't you just put me under the knife and take that out, or can't you just do this? No, this has got to be fixed this way. I want another opinion. We live in a society where everything is right now. You have to wait for nothing. You want to watch something on television? Remember when you used to have to wait till next week when the next episode? No, it's all just there. I'll just watch it right now. You got a question, something that you can't remember? Get the phone out. Don't even have to type it in. Ask the phone. It gives you the answer. We don't have to wait. That's why when you drove here this, well, not when you drove here this morning, there was nobody on the roads, but when you drive home this afternoon, you're probably going to come into contact with somebody right up on your bumper, cut you off. Why? I don't want to wait. We live in a society that wants everything right now, and I don't want to wait. I want it fixed overnight. God doesn't work that way. Too many Christians want the pill. They want the surgery that'll just put God's word in their heart automatically. It doesn't work that way. It takes work. It takes study. It takes years. It takes devotion. It takes dedication. And it's worth it in the long run. You know, we just got done building this house, and we could have cut a whole lot of corners. We could have done a whole lot of things that made it faster. And we wouldn't have wound up with the same product, would we? But by taking our time and taking the time to do certain things certain ways, what happens? You get a better product. It's worth it. It lasts longer. Church, you don't want to. I know we have this desire. I want more of it. It just seems like I can't get it fast enough. Well, that's a good desire to have. But to get it, to hide it, we have to take the time. Read it. memorize it and take the time to study it out and find out what it means. Come to church, listen to preaching, have it explained, have it expounded. Do your own studies. Look up cross-reference verses. Sit down with it and make it a point. Listen, a verse a day app on your phone will not hide God's word in your heart. A 5-minute radio program talking about a verse is not going to hide God's word in your heart. If you have a degree of any type, you know you had to study for that thing. God's word's more important than any of those degrees. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go ahead and turn there. 2 Timothy, we're close to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now look here, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to know what God's word says. I don't want to be ashamed. I want to apply it correctly. I'm going to have to study it. Now look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. What's he saying here in verses 15 and 16? Study God's word so that you can be a workman and you'll know what it means and you'll be able to rightly divide it and apply it where it needs to be applied and not misapply it, and you'll be approved. The next verse has the word but. That links this verse to the verse we just read. At the same time, you're going to have to shun profane and vain babblings. Listen, if you have more intake through the week of thus saith the Lord, then thus saith the Lord will be seen in your walk and you can be approved by God. But if you have more input of Trump said this week. Let's back up. Trump tweeted this week. Pelosi said this about Trump this week. Holcomb said this about mask this week. Bennett made this statement about that. You got more of that coming in, you're going to have more of that coming out. You know what it is? A lot of it's profane. And a lot of it's just vain babblings. Vanity means it's empty. There's a lot of it out there. We know we are to respect government. We know that. And we pray for them in authority. But there's a lot of nonsense going on that God says, hey, shun profane and vain babblings. Don't spend your time listening to this empty stuff that isn't going to do you any spiritual good. Study God's word. Study God's word. Then when the person in the White House or the State House or the courthouse makes a statement, you'll be able to say, that does or does not line up with Scripture. Here's what Scripture says about that. Instead of, oh, what are we going to do? They said this, they said that. It's profane, it's vain, it's empty, it doesn't have any meaning, it has no spiritual benefits at all. Study God's word. We incline ourselves to it. I want you to go back to Psalm 119 with me real quick. Psalm 119. And verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. We're going to spend our time in the classroom of God and His Word. We're going to spend our time in the classroom of media or the classroom of social media or the classroom of Hollywood or the classroom of Nashville or New York or what? Where are we going to spend our time? Because you're going to learn something going through this life. What are we going to learn? Whatever classroom we put ourselves in, that's what we're going to learn. Let's pick the right classroom to be in. Let's pick the right teachers. Listen, when I was in high school, this is so stupid, what I did. When I was in high school, it was either my junior or senior year. You had classes that you had to take, and then you had electives, okay? But you had to put in the electives that you wanted, and then like your second choice and your third choice. And you had to try to get them in as quick as you could so that you could get as many of them as you wanted. You know, the classes filled up. Well, one year I waited too long to get my list turned in. And then it came down to, I had to go down to, I think, the guidance counselor's office, and they said, I had waited too long, and they said, we're just going to tell you what's left. We're just going to tell you what's left. Now, one year was pretty neat because I had like three shop classes. We were doing all different types of stuff. You know, one was like a media type class and thing. But one year or one semester, I had about two or three home ec classes. Yeah, that was fun. One was kind of beneficial. They taught you how to keep a checkbook and told us, boys, you need to learn how to sew on a button because, you know, it might be a while before you get married. And Grant, in your case, you probably should learn how to make your own clothes. And, you know, they was kind of helpful. But, you know, a guy, three home ec classes. I think one of them they made you take, you know. And there was one where there really were, I think I was the only boy or maybe there was one other boy. Waited too long, and there weren't that many choices left. So you know what? I had to learn how to make cinnamon rolls and all this, you know, just stuff that I didn't care about. I mean, I care about cinnamon rolls, but I don't care about making them. I'd rather somebody else make them, you know. Guess what? There weren't that many choices. I got to choose, but I waited too long and didn't make the right choices, and now I'm sitting in there learning stuff that I don't care anything about. Okay? You know, in life, you're going to put yourself in somebody's classroom. You're going to sit at somebody's feet. You're going to learn from somebody. Whose classroom are you putting yourself in? He says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Lord, I want you to teach me. Look at verse 18. As you study God's word, it is imperative that we do this. This is a good thing to pray before you read God's word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, your word is so great. It's written from your infinite mind. I'm trying to understand it with my finite understanding. I need you to help me open my eyes and help me see it. Help me understand it. I don't get the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. Are you praying for understanding? Are you asking God to help you understand what His Word says? We have to incline ourselves to it. We got to read it. We have to take it in. We have to memorize it. We have to incline. We have to study it. As you study it, part of studying it, it's looking up cross-references and looking at context. But to study something, you also have to meditate upon it. It's going to have to stay in here. Think about the things that you run through your mind all day trying to figure this out and do that. God's Word. You ever have a day where in the morning you read a verse and it just all day long you say, I wonder exactly what that meant. And then you couldn't wait to get home to look at it some more and look at, that's how we meditate. Don't be afraid of that word meditate. It's a biblical word. It just means to give serious thought and attention to it. Psalm 63:6 says, when I remember thee upon my bed, now look, and meditate on thee in the night watches. David said, I lay awake at night and think about God and I think about His Word. You know what? If you want to study God's Word and make it a part of you so that you won't sin against God, you might have to stay up late for something other than a movie or the 11 o'clock news. Might have to get up early for something other than checking your email or getting to work on time. Might have to stay up a little late. Might have to get up a little bit early to have the time to get in God's Word and to meditate upon it. David said that he said, and meditate on thee in the night watches. You ever lay in bed and just think about the Word or something you just heard preached or something you read or something God's doing in your life? Too often what we're thinking about is, all right, when I get up, I gotta take this there and I gotta go fix that and how often do we just muse, just think, just meditate upon our Lord and His Word? Just a couple more, and I'm gonna try to wrap this up quickly. He says there in Proverbs 2, to receive it, to hide it, incline our ear unto it. We're gonna have to study it. Okay, we need to read it, we need to memorize it, we need to study it, and apply thine heart to understanding. What's that mean, to apply thine heart to understanding? Obey it. Okay, now I know what it says. What is it supposed to do to me? How is it supposed to change me? What's God asking me to do? I've read it, I've been memorizing it, I've been studying it. Now what's God want me to do with it? How's He want this to change me? What's this supposed to do to my life? Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. The next thing we need to do is we need to do some crying and some seeking after God's Word. What does that mean? That means make it a priority. Make it a priority. I need this. You ever seen somebody get nervous when their prescription starts to run out? Because their life might depend on it. I got to get that refilled. I don't want to get sick again. I need that. Hey, cry after God's Word. Seek it. Make it a priority. Jeremiah 29. I'll take you to a couple passages here real quick. Jeremiah 29. So then why is it that so many people, believers, just aren't very strong in God's Word? It's not a priority. They're not doing the work that it takes. It's a mentality that's in our society, and it's gotten over into the churches. There is a man, I know his name. I'm not going to mention his name because... though I have agreed with everything I've heard him say, I don't know a great deal about him, okay? But there is a man who has a foundation. And this foundation gives scholarships to people, and some of you might know who this is. They give scholarships to young people just coming out of high school to get into the trades. Construction, auto working, things like that, because there is a great lack of people in the trades. For one, there's a great lack of people just working. Two, everybody wants to do this kind of work. There's just a lack of people in the trades, building trades and things like that. And they're trying to get, they're begging people to get into these trades. Okay? So this foundation gives scholarships to people to go and learn, you know, go to trade schools and learn these trades and all. And they give away a lot of money, and it is extremely hard to get money from this foundation. You've got to have a certain type of job. You've got to work so much at it. You have to write all these papers. But the reason that they make it so hard is because they want to make sure that the person is serious and dedicated and they're not just giving money to anybody. And they want to make sure, hey, if you put that kind of effort forward, then you will work in a trade like that the rest of your life and be profitable in society. This man said... Some of our teachers, especially our college professor, could tell us this probably more than anybody. This man said, the biggest problem they have is that these young people crush under the weight of the responsibility and the work that they have to do. Sister Julie is shaking her head, yes. They crush under the weight of the papers and the responsibilities, and they don't want to do all the work. Why? The younger generation now has never known a television that didn't have a remote. My oldest children, their generation, has never known a world without internet and search engines. Now. So when they have to apply themselves, this is too hard. I don't want to do this. I can't do this. I quit. That mentality gets over into the church and people take God's word like that. Oh, that's hard. Can't you just tell me what it means and I'll know it? No, you're going to have to study it. You're going to have to get in it. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. He says this to Israel, but this principle applies to us. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. He tells Israel, you want to find me? You get serious about me. You want to know God's word? You want to hide it in your heart? Get serious about it. Cry after it. Seek after it. What does God's word really mean to you? Job said, I'll just give you this reference, you can write it down, Job 23 verses 11 and 12, he said that he esteemed the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food. He said, I need what God says more than I need food for my physical body. Finally, we see the benefits in verses 5 through 9, Proverbs 2. Okay, we do these things, then what happens? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That'll help me, won't it? That'll help me. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I think I would like to have the Lord telling me what to do. After all, he created everything and knows it all. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Hey, he'll keep my life in order. He'll keep things held together. He'll keep things in line. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. I'd like to be preserved by God. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Some people like to stay in ignorance. God's people shouldn't. I don't want to be taken. I don't want to be duped. I don't want to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. I want to know. If you want to turn to Psalm 119, 105, you can, or I'll just read it to you. Every one of you could quote it. Psalm 119, 105. Here's one of the benefits. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Man, I like that verse. And I started really liking it when I found out what it really meant. Lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You know what a lamp unto your feet does? It shows you where you're at right now, your current situation. God deals with the thoughts and intents of your heart through his word and says, here's who you are. Your feet can't be somewhere that you're not. If so, you're going to be in a lot of pain. If you're here and your feet are over there, we've got a problem. A lamp unto my feet. He shows me, here's where you are, here's who you are. And a light unto my path. The path is out before you. God says, now here's what you need to do. Here's where you need to walk. Here's where you are right now. This is your current situation. This is who you are. Now look down this way. Here's what I want you to do about it. Here's where I want you to walk. Here's what I want you to do. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What are you doing with your lamp? What are you doing with your light? Are you not putting the oil in it? Are you not carrying it around? Have you traded it in for a newfangled light? Have you gotten rid of it? You're going to do a lot of tripping and falling and stumbling along the way and sinning against God if you don't have this light hidden within your heart. That's what Psalm 119 says. How do I get that in there? Proverbs chapter 2. Read it, memorize it, study it, obey it and cry after it. Make it a top priority in your life. How much of a priority is God's word in our life? I say this all the time. It's the last thing I'm going to say. I say this all the time. And I'm going to keep saying it. Show me where you spend your time, your money, and your effort, and I'll show you what's important in your life. You show me where you spend your money, your time, and your effort, and I'll know exactly what's important in your life. This book doesn't need your money. Unless you don't have one, you need to buy one. Does it get your time and your effort? That'll show its importance in our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've taught us in your word today. And Lord, we pray that you would just convict us. And Lord, maybe you've already started to convict some of us. And maybe you're already showing us how we don't spend the time that we should in your word. And then we don't study it. And then we don't apply it. And we don't live by it. And I pray, Lord, we wouldn't leave here without doing business with you in these matters. You would help us to know your word so that we could be sanctified by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.